As we continue on the subject of abounding in hope, I want to look at a passage of scripture here in Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 28. Proverbs 10 and verse 28. Did I say Proverbs 28? Probably did. Proverbs 10 and verse 28. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 28. And let's read it first here. It says, "The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish." Through this proverb and through a number of proverbs in this section of Proverbs, we find a comparison and contrast between the wicked and the righteous. In other words, when he talks about the wicked and the righteous, we're not just talking about saints of God or believers that are living in righteousness, and some of them living in sin and such as that, because there are such. But rather, we're talking about the standing of each one. In other words, the fact that here's two completely different groups that are being spoken of. And the righteous are those who are righteous in Jesus Christ. And those who are the wicked are those who are wicked and continue in their sin without the Lord Jesus Christ, without Him. And so you've got these two different classes of people that he's referring to: those that know the Lord, the saints, and those that are unsaved, those that know not the Lord. And so when we look at that and we consider going through the book of Proverbs, you find that contrast is made a number of times in the Proverbs. And we see the Lord then, through Solomon, speaking to us about the two different states. And in one sense of the word, the biggest sense of the word, to encourage God's people in hope. To encourage God's people, because our state is nothing like the state of the wicked. Our condition as God's people is nothing like that they endure and that they will endure. And so we look at that and we see some contrast that's made. In the previous verse, we see a little of that. In verse number 27, the scripture says, "The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened." The fear of the Lord is what the righteous possess. The righteous possess the fear of the Lord. They're the ones that respect the Lord. They're the ones that trust the Lord, depend on the Lord, and that fear Him in the sense of the fear of a father and such as that, in the sense of respect. They respect the Lord. They respect His word. They respect Him. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, the scripture says here, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. The fear of the Lord prolonging days. In other words, the fear of the Lord can make things far better than we might think. In other words, they can prolong days. They can, as opposed to what he says in verse number 27 about the wicked, that the years of the wicked shall be shortened. In other words, the Lord, we can be surprised. We as God's people can be surprised what God can do when we respect Him, when we trust Him as He's commanded. And so the brief context here that we see this verse 28 in is a context of hope. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 20, it's a good verse to remember, Ephesians 3:20. And it says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus." But the scripture says, this is that one, the Lord is the one who can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And as God's people, it's good for us to remember that he can do, he can shock us, he can surprise us. And in fact, when we, I think that the clearest evidence of that in the Word of God is the amazing view of our eternity future. And how that it will be so wonderful in the future, that we will be with the Lord Jesus Christ, and all the wonders of heaven and the wonders of the city, the New Jerusalem, and all that we will encounter as God's people is just more than, it's like, like Solomon said, it's more than can be, you know, can be reckoned up. It's his goodness and all is more than we can even imagine. We can't imagine what the Lord can do for us. He's going to do for us in eternity, but we can't even imagine what he's going to do for us even now. And so Proverbs, so Solomon says here, hey, it's more than, you know, we can, in verse 27, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days. What we think is going to be the future, our future, the Lord could greatly enhance our future. The Lord could wonderfully enhance the future of God's people, and he will. He is going to enhance your future if you are one of the Lord's people. He is going to prolong your days. He is going to cause, and of course, obviously we can talk about that in eternal sense, in the eternal sense, but also in the sense of you know, as God's people, we should realize that the Lord can surprise us. And the years of the wicked shall be shortened, though. He says, hey, the time is going to come, the wicked's hope is not like our hope. But he's speaking about the future. So in that tone of the future, we read verse number 28. And verse 28 says, the hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. Now I want to start tonight, and we'll just look at the righteous and the wicked. The wicked first and then the righteous. When we look at these two tonight here, we see something said. There's a word that's used here that is a synonym of a previous word, and that is the word hope. So if we read verse number 28, it says, the hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the, what's the other thing? What's the thing that's referred to concerning the wicked? The expectation of the wicked. The hope of the righteous and the expectation of the wicked. When he says something like that, when he puts a couple of phrases together like that, then what he's saying is that here's another word for hope. Here's another word for hope, and it is the word expectation. He's comparing the expectation of the righteous to the expectation of the wicked. And so what we expect in the future, what is your future like? And how do you view your future? And that's the title of our message today, is expectations. Expectations. How do you view your future? I ask you tonight, think about it personally. How do I view my future? How am I looking at my future as a child of God? How am I looking at, I'm one of the righteous. How am I looking at my future? And the Word of God says here, first of all, I want to think about the wicked. Let's look at the wicked and what it says about this. The expectation of the wicked shall perish. Now, what's the expectation of the wicked? The expectation, the wicked's ultimate state is one, as we think about it, is one of perishing expectations. Their expectations are going to perish. They're going to fade away. They're going to fail. All their expectations, all the expectations of the wicked, not going to come true. All their dreams, not going to come true. All the things they expect, not going to come true. What is that when your expectations don't come true? It's called frustration. Any of you ever face frustration? Yeah, me. Frustrated. Ever frustrated? You know, you think something's going to happen and then it doesn't happen. And then what do you feel like? You feel frustrated. You feel like, I could be 10 miles ahead right now, but for all of these cars in the left lane that think that they own the left lane and they got to drive 10 miles an hour below the speed limit, or a little below the speed limit anyway, and you're like, this could be me, I could be way up there, but no, they've blocked me off, and so I'm going to probably have to take a different road because I'm not a very patient person. Expectations. Sometimes we get frustrated with different things. Different things can frustrate us. We have this expectation that something's going to happen. The boss says, you know, we get hired on at a place and they say, hey, this is what's going to happen over the next few months, you know, and it didn't happen. It didn't happen at all. And there's frustration because of that. The expectation that perishes causes frustration. Expectations that perish. Well, you know, the Word of God says here that it's the expectations of the wicked that perish. Okay? So they're the ones, if anyone should have frustration, they're the ones who are going to be frustrated. Because you know what's going to happen? His or her wishes, dreams, those who are the wicked, their wishes, their dreams, their imaginations, their expectations are all going to vanish into thin air. They will have nothing but the inescapable wrath of God on them forever. Now, I'm not going to ever face that. As a child of God, I will never face that frustration. I will never face that expectation of all my dreams completely vanishing. They expect that they will never face God. You know, the wicked, many of the wicked, may expect that they are never going to face God at all. Some of the wicked don't believe that. Some of the wicked think they are going to face God. But some of the wicked don't think they'll ever face God at all. And unfortunately, that's going to be an expectation that is going to perish. That's going to be an expectation that is going to frustrate them. Because the truth is, we're all going to face God. And they are going to face God. And some may expect, some of the wicked may expect their expectation. They may expect God to kind of just be loose and great on the curve. They may have the expectation that God is going to be a God who just, you know, he's just going to say, oh, you did, man, you did okay, so come on in. And that's not the God that the Bible speaks about. It's not going to be a God who just grades on the curve and says everything's going to be okay. No, the expectation of that wicked person, of that person who believes somehow that God's just going to allow anything. God just is permissive and he's going to allow me to come in just because that I've tried. Well, now that's not what the Word of God says. Their expectations are going to perish. They may expect their religion is going to appease God. They may have the expectation that their religious experience, whatever it might be, that their religion is somehow the things that they've gone through religiously, the things, the practices that they might practice, the things they do that are the observance of things in order to be right with God, in order to be appeased with God, in order to keep appeasement with God, that somehow is going to earn their place in heaven with the Lord and earn their reputation with God, or is going to appease God. But what about all their sins? And the fact of the matter, the Word of God tells us that all that religion is nothing. How many ways did the Lord Jesus himself reject the religious of his day? The so religious people that feel that they are something because of their religion, because of what they practice and such. They expect their religion is going to appease God. Their expectation is going to vanish. Their expectation is going to perish. The expectation of the wicked is going to perish. They may expect a final chance. They may expect that one of these days, that before they die, that God's going to give them a final chance. That God owes them, in a sense, a final chance. That he owes everybody a final chance to make it right, to make things right, to repent and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's no such promise in God's Word that says that's going to happen. He says clearly he's appointed a day in which he's going to judge the unrighteous. But the Word of God does not say that he has appointed a day for everyone where he's going to give you a second chance. He's going to give you another chance and such as this. No, they may expect that there's going to be a final chance and their expectation is going to perish. They may expect no hell and no torment. They may expect that there is no such thing as hell. They may expect and they may have this belief that there's no such thing as the judgment of God that's coming upon sinners. They may have that expectation, and they don't see anything about Jesus, because Jesus is meaningless when there's no expectation of hell. When there's no expectation of the judgment of God upon sin, then there's no need for Jesus, really. There's no, Jesus doesn't have any meaning when you don't believe that, if Jesus doesn't have any meaning when you don't believe there's a God. Jesus doesn't have any meaning when you don't believe God's going to judge. And Jesus has no meaning whenever you don't believe that God is serious and he's going to bring eternal judgment upon the wicked. Well, they may, but their expectation is going to perish. They may expect no ultimate judge at all. They may expect, even though that they are good at judging everybody else, they may expect that God is not going to judge them. That there's no judge at all. And that they're never going to be held accountable for all the things that they would judge other people for. That they'll never be held accountable for to God for their own offenses toward him. And the fact of the matter is, the expectation of the wicked shall perish. They are going to ultimately be frustrated beyond measure whenever all the things they thought, whenever all the ways they thought they were, whenever what they thought of themselves vanishes into thin air, and they have nothing before God. And so when we look at the expectation of the wicked here, we find there's what real frustration is all about. There, they have reason, in a sense, they will have reason to be truly frustrated. But then you look at the righteous. And the Word of God says here, not justified reason, I didn't mean by that, but there will be real frustration. The righteous, look at what it says in verse 28. It says, the hope of the righteous. So the expectation is referred to here concerning the righteous, is referred to as hope. Our hope is our expectation. Our expectation is our hope as God's people. So the expectation of the righteous shall be gladness. The hope, the future, what we have to look forward to, our expectation, what does that mean? That means, well, I can tell you one thing it means, that I believe it means from the Word of God, and that means it means that it'll be better than we ever thought it was. That it's going to be just the opposite of being frustrated. It's like being absolutely amazed and being thrilled by what the expectation, what we have expected and what we actually will receive. We may at times expect, as God's people, we may live with an expectation of bad times ahead. Those bad times coming. We can live as God's people with an expectation that things are bad and they're just going to get worse. And reality says that in this life, things might get worse. And reality says that in a lot of things as far as this life is concerned, they might get worse. But as God's people, we learn not to walk by sight. Not to walk by sight. We learn as God's people that there is something far better and far more for us as the Lord's people as it pertains to our expectations, pertains to our hope. We may expect bad times ahead. We may be frustrated from things now. We may, as God's people even, be frustrated by things. I mean, things frustrate us. Things in this life frustrate us. But he says here to us, maybe it's just to encourage us to say, you know what? Our expectation is going to be gladness. The end result of our expectation is gladness. The Lord is going to work it all out. I think sometimes at the way that the providence of God is leading in our lives and leading his people. He says, Romans 8:28, we believe it, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And you know, I really do believe that when the future comes, when far out in the future, when the Lord comes back to receive us and we'll go home to be with him, that when our future comes and it beyond this life, that our expectation is going to be gladness. And we may even look back, and I believe what will happen is that we may be able to have the opportunity to look back on our life and see even those things that we thought were so bad that we were having to endure, the Lord worked them out to be so wonderful in the lives of others. Encouraged other people amazingly. They end up being something that what we're going through, we didn't see it. We couldn't see how that could ever be good, how any good could ever possibly come of what we were having to go through. And yet, one of these days, we're going to look back and we're going to see, wow, the Lord was doing a wonderful work. The Lord was accomplishing some wonderful things through our lives. Whenever we didn't see that, we couldn't understand that. We couldn't perceive that. And we just get surprised by it to a degree. Our hope is set up against perishing expectations or frustration that the wicked are really going to see. Ours is a hope that ultimately meets with gladness. It ultimately is going to meet with gladness. And so as God's people, we should have a very good hope as the Lord's people. In Psalm 16, verse number 11, I'll go back to the 16th Psalm, and in verse number 11, David said there, "Thou wilt show me the paths of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Joy in his presence is fullness of joy. The fullest joy. The expectation of the child of God is to be with the Lord, is to be in his presence. And in his presence is fullness of joy. In his presence is, as he says here, at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. And then you read the book of Romans in chapter 5, Romans 5, 2. Get there. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 2, and he says, "By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." Paul says, you know what we do? We with the expectation of his glory, the expectation of being in his presence with fullness of joy, what do? Well, right now we can rejoice in it. We can rejoice in that. We can be a people who are living off of the future, who are living off of what we have coming, living off of the expectation that the Lord is truly working every bit of this out for his good. And he truly is working it out for our good, for his glory, but for our good. He really is. And so we can have that expectation. We should have a realistic expectation, true. We should realize that in this life, that there's, Jesus said, in this life you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. He says, one of these days, the world's going to be completely overcome, and all the battles will be over, all the heartache will be over, all the sorrow gone, all the toil gone, all the bad news exhausted, all of it's gone. Won't be any more graves, won't be any more... I mean, everything is going to be, the Lord is going to reign in his righteousness, and we as his people are going to enjoy his fullness of joy. We're going to have gladness. We're going to be, ours should be a realistic expectation that there in this world will have tribulation, but it should be one that's tempered with the "be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world." It should be tempered with gladness about the future. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18 is a verse that I alluded to just a few moments ago, but I want to read it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 18, you know, we sometimes get our eyes on the things around us, the things of this world, and we all we can see is what we can see. And we're kind of sometimes are blinded to the spiritual things, to the things of God's working in his kingdom and how he's working everything out, even the bad things that we're going through, to his glory and for the good of his people. And I read here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18, and he says, verse 18, let me find it here. While we look, he says, for our light affliction, verse 17, let's back up, verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Now, Paul doesn't give you an out. He doesn't say that you have more than a light affliction. Paul had probably more than the rest of us have had. If you look the list of what all he endured, he's endured a whole lot more than we have. He says, for our light affliction, he refers to himself and his own affliction as being light. Why, how can you say your affliction is light? Well, look at it. He says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, that's temporary, it worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Something substantial is happening with even when we're going through affliction. It's some wonderful things are occurring. And he says, while we look not at the things which are seen, and here's the key is God's people. It's called faith. That's what it's called. Substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I got some promises from God that I can rest my hat on. I got some promises from God that I can rest my head on at night. I got some promises of God that can get me through the day on the worst of days. I got some promises from God concerning my eternal future. And when I'm being rejected by men, I got some promises from God to say, hey, I may be rejected by men, but I'm not rejected by him, by God. I got some promises as a child of God that I can rest in, that I can rely on, that I can depend on. And it's looking at the things which are not seen, at those future wonderful promises, those wonderful things that compass our hope, our expectation. What's your expectation? Do you have the promises of God as your expectation? Do you have the Word of God and what it says about your future as your expectation? Or are you just looking at the things that are seen? And everything we see is just that line of cars that are sitting in front of us on the left side of the road when we want to get around them. And we say, oh, that's so frustrating. Life is miserable today because of that. And we get our whole viewpoint, our whole perspective of life becomes something that's more about the seen than the unseen. And the Lord says it should be just the opposite of that. The things that are unseen should be what we focus upon as God's people. And that's something I think that Solomon is focusing on in Proverbs 10:28 when he says, the hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. We don't have expectations that are going to be a perishing expectations. We have expectations that are going to be thrilling, that are going to be gladness to us as God's people. So we'll stop right there tonight and just thinking about expectations. What are your expectations? Do your expectations end in gladness? Do you smile when you think of your future? Or do you grimace when you think of your future? I think you ought to be smiling. As God's people, we ought to have a smile on our face, a smile in our heart of our future. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings to us. Thank you for the opportunity you give us, Lord, today to look into your word. Strengthen us, Lord. Strengthen our faith. Help us, Lord, not to be dragged down with the things that are seen. But help us, Lord, to lift up our heads and know that we have a future that is amazing, that is wonderful, and that's full of gladness. And we'll praise you forever for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.